Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Hello and welcome to the Socceroos podcast, where we go one-on-one with your favourite players to keep you connected with the Socceroos. My name is Michael Puttaflam. On this episode, we chat with Socceroo cap number 568, Jackson Irvine. After spending 10 months without playing a game of football, Jackson recently signed with Scottish Premiership side Hibernian, where he's already made an impact alongside fellow Socceroos teammate Martin Boyle. But Jackson's journey this past year hasn't been without enormous challenges. The 27-year-old takes us through how he dealt with the mental and physical tasks of keeping himself fit while searching for a new club in a COVID world. He also chats Socceroos, training with Harry Kewell, his Simpsons tattoo that went viral overnight, and much more. This podcast was recorded prior to his two assists against Dundee United. So, without further ado, here's the full chat with Jackson.
All right, Jackson, thank you very much for joining us. Firstly, how is everything going with you and how has life been settling in at Hibs?
Yeah, I've been welcome back to into the football world with the roller coaster of emotions that comes with it. Obviously over the moon to be back involved in football on the day-to-day level and playing for a great club like Hibs and back in a country in a league that I know so well. There's so much that's been amazing about this first kind of 10 days, 2 weeks. But, then of course there's the roller coaster of losing a cup semi-final yesterday, which was unbelievably disappointing. And but from a personal point of view, it's just, fantastic to be back involved and playing. And, I wasn't probably expecting to be as involved in these first two games as of, because I've only been in the door. I've probably only done 5 or 6 training sessions, but for myself, it's just, I'm feeling great and fit and strong and, mentally just in a really good place knowing that I'm back involved in football.
You able to talk through what, this 10-12 day period has been like in terms of whether it's been, as you mentioned, maybe a bit of a roller coaster for everyone who doesn't get the experience of joining a new club and having to get used to all of that, but also being thrown to trainings and games?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's always, when you first go in somewhere, it's usually every time I've joined a club, it's been under pre-season circumstances. You have a bit of time to build in, get to know the players and the way they play and everything. But, this was a totally different experience for me coming in a January window where season's halfway through and, you've got a settled group of players and on the day-to-day and obviously during the COVID world as well with the restrictions in place and the kind of ways that changes how you operate within a football club on the day-to-day as well, which I hadn't really experienced as, I haven't played since the first lockdown. So, there's just been so much to take in. I came in, did my medical on the Monday, went out with the boys and did a little bit on the Tuesday, and then trained Thursday, Friday, and then I went straight into the team for the Saturday. I get to my old club, one of my old clubs, Kilmarnock, and managed to get, I wasn't probably expecting to start having not played in 10 months and only done, 2 or 3 training sessions. But I had a good chat with the manager and, obviously having signed just a short-term deal to the end of the season, the biggest thing for me is getting the minutes in and, you can train and as much as you want and try and get your fitness up that way. But the most important thing for me was getting the minutes under my belt and that's what's going to get me up to speed quicker than anything. And, I got 75 minutes in and managed to get a positive result. And, it was the best possible start. And then on the flip side, you build into this week, the game just gone. And, obviously, again, I've got 2 or 3 training sessions in during the week and then straight into a cup semi-final at Hampden and, a massive occasion for the club, which unfortunately just didn't quite swing our way. That's been the roller coaster of it all, dealing with, you're getting put in a new accommodation and things, and you're trying to sort your life out all amongst this time where you're, your personal life were all amongst this time where you really just want to settle in and think about your football. So there's challenges to be faced, but at the end of the day, the overriding emotion is just, yeah, happiness and joy to be back involved and doing what I love on the day to day.
And I guess on getting that feeling back and getting back onto the pitch, how long before actually making your debut did you get an inkling or know that you were going to be starting?
Probably it was on the Friday morning, the day before. The manager pulled me in his office and we had a really good chat just about the situation and about how the best way to handle my situation is. You know, sometimes football's a funny one, and when it comes to modern sports science and medical stuff, and there's different recommended ways to get players back involved after long being out for a while, whether it be through injury or just not playing. But I think there's got to be an element of knowing your own body and knowing what you're going to be capable of putting into it. And I've always been, had a good natural baseline of fitness, I suppose. And I felt that the last thing I was missing was the match minutes. And, he asked me how I feel about going in from the start, and I was all for it. I think sometimes it's even better to play from a start where you can build and feel your way into a game rather than sometimes you come on as a substitute and the game's moving so quick and it's already in full flow and you're kind of a little bit off the pace because you haven't played and all of a sudden the game just passes you by completely. Whereas from the start of the game, I feel like you have a chance to build into it, and that's definitely the way it went. And it went as well as it could have gone, as I say, two or three training sessions having not played in 10 months. I was absolutely delighted to get, 75 minutes under the belt.
I mean, it sounds pretty amazing to everyone looking in, thinking that, you can sign for a club and just a couple of days after not playing for 10 months to be starting. But I'm sure there's a lot more behind that in terms of keeping yourself fit in the training that you went under in those 10 months. Be able to kind of give a little bit of a summary of how you were able to keep yourself so match ready and fit.
Yeah, I had great support and great help from, in particular from, Andrew Clark and with the Socceroos, and he was always giving me programs and individual based, strength and conditioning that I could do from home as well, and to keep myself, as I say, have that baseline ready to go for when you do step into a club, to be able to build up from that base. And also, a friend of mine, Steve Barrett, who works with, I couldn't not say their names because those two guys were, I wouldn't have been able to do it without them these few months. It was so difficult, obviously, having to not even being able to go in to train with clubs because of COVID protocols and not being able to be involved in team football on a day-to-day. Because naturally, if you've been out the game for a while, you've got enough contacts within the game where you'd be able to go into a club and, just to train and keep fit, which fortunately in December I was able to do with Harry Kuehl and Oldham and a massive thank you to them for, I got maybe 10, 8 to 10 training sessions in with those guys as well. And, just that individual, that routine of getting up and going to, a public park or, just on your own on the day-to-day became, very mentally challenging and, dealing with everything that was going on with the other side of things. But without the support from those guys and giving me the information and the data that I needed to be able to keep myself at that level, I definitely wouldn't have been able to come into a club and be ready to go after, as you say, 3 or 4 days.
And it's amazing because football is such a team sport. You spend all this time in training just playing with other guys. And as you said, in any other circumstance when there wasn't COVID happening, you'd be able to go and train with other teams or train with other people. So like, what percentage of the time were you actually getting to play against people or with people compared to just having to train on your own?
Like basically zero. It was just me and a ball and a few cones in the park every day. Like that was my route. That was the way it had to be. That's obviously it's the way of the world, and I had to just adapt. And footballers, I think we thrive in under routine sometimes. It gives us that I don't know, that platform to be able to just focus on the physical aspect of the game rather than having to deal with the other things. So to have the program laid out for me and not have to get up in the morning and think, all right, what am I going to do today? How am I going to keep myself going? You know, in that sense, I had exactly what I needed to do. And that was what kept me going. And yeah, of course there's days where, you know, I'm sure a couple of you might have seen stories that, you know, I was running in the park a couple of days and there's people walking dogs and dogs are running in and running away with my ball and knocking over my cones. And you're standing there with your hands on your head, like, you just can't believe it. This is where you're at in your career at this point. But, you know, the world's become a bizarre place and I'm sure there's people in far worse situations than that. But yeah, it's just, I couldn't quite believe how the situations I found myself in. And but yeah, without support of those people, again, I'll just come back to that. They were that's the main reason I've been able to get myself up to sharpness as quick as I have.
It's a bad cliche, but they say obviously what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. What was this experience like for you? Was it something very difficult that's, you know, giving you a new outlook or giving you something else to help you improve your game?
Yeah, I think so. I think for myself, it probably just really hits home again how lucky we are, I guess. Like, I don't think I've ever been one to take football for granted. I've always been very aware of how fortunate we are and especially just to do what you love so much. And I think from another sense, I've been quite fortunate in my career to not have sustained any really long-term injuries. And it's essentially, that's kind of the period away from a football team is that's kind of what it felt like. And then you stepping back into the group. But yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from it. It's definitely made me a lot stronger mentally, I suppose. In certain aspects of my game, I've always felt like that's some part of my game that I've always been strong with anyway. But yeah, it is quite difficult to put into words now when I look back. As I say, I've only been back involved with Hibs for less than 2 weeks, and if I've already forgotten, almost moved on from that period of my life, it's felt like I've managed to just put it behind myself and throw myself into being with this team and this club and trying to help have success here in what, you know, is short term to begin with, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. And it's an opportunity for me to just be back doing what I love. And yeah, that's been the way I've tried to approach it.
It's a small silver lining, but you mentioned before getting the opportunity to train with Harry Kewell during this period.
Yeah.
I think I remember he might be one of the soccerers that you looked up to growing up. So, you know, what was that experience like, especially training with someone that you looked up to?
Yeah, really bizarre. Kind of one of those strange moments within football that you have sometimes where the kind of glass ceiling shatters and, you know, you kind of end up face to face with people that, you know, felt like they were on a different planet to you at one point. You know, I met Harry when I was about 11 at like a fan kind of thing. I've got like a photo with him and stuff. And, you know, he was all of our, you know, one of our heroes, everyone of probably my generation, just, you know, because of the level he played at, he's, you know, probably our most decorated domestic player, I suppose, you know, obviously being a Champions League winner and the level he played at. And but he's been fantastic with me just over those few weeks. He was so welcoming and made transitioning back into being with a group really, really comfortable and easy, as I say, under difficult circumstances with the way of the world and the way clubs have to approach these things. And it was very generous of him to let me come in and train with his group. And, you know, they got a good result again yesterday, and now I've got another team to, not that I need any more football to watch in my life, but I've got another team to follow now as well, just after, you know, you spend a bit of time with guys and, you know, you want to see them do well, because again, even the group, the players were fantastic with me in the short time I was there.
So did Harry reach out to you to see if you wanted to come train? And just to add on to that, obviously such a special player for the Socceroos and had that, like, that special quality that, you know, you can't really always describe. And mm-hmm. So I guess the question, did some of that come out, or could you kind of see some of that coming out during his training as a coach?
Yeah, I've never crossed paths with him on a personal level before this experience with him. So it was quite interesting to speak with him on a personal level and then also work with him as a coach and see, the way he operates in that environment as well. And the players, unbelievably responsive to the way he coaches the team, and some really good footballers. And I really like the way that he sets up his sessions and sets up his team. And I know he's going to have good success. And, his work rate and dedication and enthusiasm every day was so apparent. And, it was just the perfect environment to go into, so in that kind of atmosphere. Unfortunately in football, it's not always like that. But definitely that was the kind of working environment you want to be going into, that's for sure. Just as you say, from you can see elements of what he had as a player and those aspects of his game that he wants to implement into a team environment as well.
Must have been a very special experience. So I guess in amongst that, it'd be great if you're able to kind of just, I guess, outline those months between leaving Hull in June and then eventually signing with Hibs, even if it's just kind of a timeline of events, I'll be being a bit of an extended period.
Yeah. Oh, listen, it was, it felt like a bit Murphy's Law at one point. It just felt like every decision I made kind of in a short space of time just seemed to backfire. So originally when the kind of fallout happened with Hull and my contract expired at the end of June before the games restarted, I was told probably a couple of weeks before that I wasn't going to be involved. So obviously again with COVID protocols, I was pushed out of the group. So at that point already I was kind of pushed into training on my own. So it was at that point, this was kind of pre-Australia COVID. So my natural thought at that time was, well, I knew the A-League teams had come back. I'd had a couple of conversations with a couple of contacts back home. And my first thought was I'll come back to Australia, obviously go through the quarantine process, do all that. And then I'll be able to spend some time at home with my family, work with the team. Work with one of the A-League teams to be able to, keep myself moving. And then also it's a good, being with your family and stuff's a good environment to kind of evaluate your future and see what you want to do next. So that was the natural kind of thought process. And that, of course, I'm in my hotel quarantine in Melbourne grinding through the 14 days. And I think it was day 8 was the outbreak, was the first kind of cases started to appear in Melbourne. And couldn't believe it in that sense, that just you've flown home, you're doing your quarantine, and then by the time I was ready to come out, I had to just come out and go straight to my mom's house and spend a few weeks in at home, and wasn't even able to go out and do anything in the end. And I think by day 8 there was the outbreak, and I think by day 11 or 12 all the A-League teams had relocated up to New South Wales. And it's just, again, just one of those moments like, oh my God, just couldn't get anything to drop for me. I at that point then, I had to just kind of, be a part of the lockdown in Melbourne and be at home with my mum and dad and sister and my cousin. And it was great to just have that, couple of weeks of, I think I spent 2 or 3 weeks at home at that point. And then I made the decision to come back to Europe. That was kind of the initial first few weeks where that was the process of thinking was to come back, but that didn't quite pan out the way I was hoping it would. And then from there, it was just coming back to the UK. And it's difficult to explain those few months, because all through that time of training on my own every day and trying to keep yourself going through that, you're thinking that the phone call will come any day. The contract offer will come. And so you're kind of constantly trying to be ready to go in a physical sense, but also in the aspect of your personal life and everything else that goes on with that. So, you know, I was never really like settled into it, I guess, because you're always just kind of, it feels like that move is just a day away or a couple of days away or, you know, one conversation away. And it just never, it just seemed to just never materialize. And, you know, obviously then you're dealing with the disappointment of things not coming through the way that you wanted, and also then trying to translate that into physical training. So that was kind of the way it operated. So I was back in Hull throughout that the rest of that period until I came up here. So it's been a bizarre experience, but I'm glad to put behind me and move on into you know, the future of what I'm going to do next.
Sounds like a pretty important lesson that I guess all aspiring footballers can have, right? Like, it can be such a difficult, I guess, sport and industry at times, but you got to keep on plugging away. And if you stop plugging away, then that's when you can put yourself in hot water.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I don't think in any other, I know the COVID world is definitely affected. As I say, it's affected industries far worse than it's affected the football industry. Like, obviously, you got to keep that the bigger perspective of the way this has affected people's lives and families and everything along the way. So I've got no, I'm under no illusions that it's been far worse for a lot of people. But, you know, you can only really experience your own set of circumstances, I guess. And, in no other time in football, I guess, would a, 150 game starting international midfield, if I can be left in a situation without a club for nearly six or seven months. That's just the way the situation that the football world and I myself found myself in. But you have to deal with a lot of other mentally challenging aspects of, like, probably for the first time in my career, I was starting to experience like self-doubt and things like that, you're thinking like, why is it not happening, what's gone wrong, like what's the issue, why is it not coming, everything falling together for me in that sense. But then that way you need the support from your family and my partner, and they're the people that, although the guys I spoke about before kept me going physically, without the support of my family and friends and the people and my partner and in my personal life, that was equally, if not more important, to be able to maintain, to be able to keep going every day. Because at the end of the day, you just want to do your job, and you want to do what you love, and to go that amount of time without being able to do it, and not by choice, it's not through your own decision-making process that's left you in that situation. It's through outside circumstances. So it can be difficult. It was difficult to take at times, but again, those people were the ones that kept me going.
So going from that situation to now being with Hibs, what was it like in terms of getting connected with Hibs and how did it come about, and just overall, how happy are you to be there now?
Yeah, listen, it was a quick process. Fortunately for myself, I've haven't played in Scotland for a long time. I've got a pretty good reputation in the league and contacts with the people that I've kind of knew within the club, and it came together pretty quickly. I had a couple of conversations with the manager, and we very much felt like we were on the same page with what we wanted to achieve and the way that we felt that I could contribute to what the club and what he wants from his team. So it came together pretty quickly, and for myself to come back to Scotland and be involved with a club like this that's got big history and great facilities and everything that pushing for European places. And unfortunately, we're in a cup semi-final, which has passed us by, but you know, big opportunities to be involved in big games and pushing to for success. It was a very easy decision for me.
Obviously, there's another Socceroo at Hibs. I read that you said that he didn't play any part in bringing you to Hibs at all. But how nice is it linking up with another Aussie in Martin Boyle? And was he surprised to see you turn up one day? Or?
I think it had been in the rumour mill for a couple of days before I turned up. So he might have been expecting to see me, but I didn't have any conversations with Boyle before I went up the road, surprisingly. But as I say, because I already knew enough about the club that I didn't need the inside knowledge. But it's great to be with another international teammate here. And boy, there's a great character and a top player. And it's going to be, I haven't played many domestic games alongside international teammates. So it's a great opportunity to build some connections that you can use on and off the pitch in that way.
Exactly. Hopefully it's going to be a great benefit for the Socceroos, which I want to ask you about in a moment. One thing that's been doing the rounds when you signed was a tattoo on your leg.
Yeah.
Simpsons character, Mo Sizlak. Did I pronounce that
right? Yeah. It's probably my first experience of anything going viral, I suppose, in that way. And I have no idea how it kind of came about. It wasn't even the photo that the guy used. It was an old photo as well. Like, I've had the tattoo for quite a while. It somehow found its way into the tweets of one of the Simpsons writers who then decided to become a Hibs supporter because he was so impressed by it. So anyway, it was just a good laugh. And I've most of my tattoos have some kind of pop culture reference in amongst them. So, maybe I'll get David Lynch to be a Hibs fan after he sees my Twin Peaks tattoo or something like that next. We'll see how we go.
I mean, the obvious question is why Mo? I guess why Mo? why Mo?
I wish there was more of like a really funny story behind it, but the tattoo artist who does a lot of my work in Leeds, I was in getting some work done one day, and we always quoted The Simpsons. It was just we both were big fans, and we were always laughing about it. And I'd always said I was really keen to get a tattoo, and he had some spare time, and I had some spare time, and it was like, go on then, let's just pick one. We'll pick one that will be a laugh. And Mo's always been like one of my favorite characters, and that scene in particular, we just found it so funny in the moment. We were like, go on then, it'll be a good laugh. And we tried to place him so it would be just above my sock line, so it was like he was walking along my shin. And I don't know, it's I wish there was more to it than the fact that we just thought it was funny. And that's really all there is to it. I'm sure my mom will be horrified to hear that I make such permanent decisions on just for a bit of a laugh. But no, that's all there was to it.
So is there any more tattoo content we should be keeping our eyes out for? And I guess, is that your favorite tattoo, or is another one that would top Mo one?
It's definitely one of my favorites in that sense. It's really funny. I do have some that are a bit more personal and a bit more, have a bit more meaning to me and to my family. But in terms of what I actually think is really funny, that would definitely probably be one of my favorites. But there will definitely be some more pop culture references and things going on in the next few years, I'm sure.
And among the Socceroos lads, who do you think's got the most impressive tattoo? Which one do you appreciate the most?
Well, there's a few guys with some good ink. Me and Josh Risden's probably got some of my favorite work, that's for sure. Ryan Williams has got some really, really cool tattoos. Ryan Williams at Portsmouth, he's actually got a couple of tattoos from some people in Leeds as well from his time at Barnsley. So we've seen a couple of the same people, I think, but There's some good ones out there. There's some good ones. But I'll say those two. I think they've probably got my favorite work of that I've come across. Actually, Ryan Grant's got a couple of tiny little new ones. I don't know if he's added to them, but I only saw them at the end of 2019. But he's got a couple of good ones as well. So yeah, some good ones out there, that's for sure.
So speaking of some Socceroos, hopefully March we'll see the return in almost, for the first time in almost 18 months, against Kuwait and Nepal. Now especially playing back football, I mean, how awesome would it be to be involved with some of those squads? And I guess, has there been a bit more chatter at the start of the year amongst the boys?
Yeah, I think for me, that's another element of my time away from football that kept me going in a sense, was I'm probably the only player to ever benefit from a 10-month layoff, and not because I didn't miss any international games, I guess. And, because I suppose coming off the back of the Jordan game, and you know, the first four games of qualifiers, I probably never felt better in a Socceroos shirt. I probably never felt like it was, probably the strongest I'd felt in the international games. And you know, obviously, I've played a couple of different roles within the team and over the years, and I felt like I'd really established. I don't know, even though I've played 34 games for Australia now, I've probably felt like that was like my time to be one of the main players within the group, and you know, with my age and everything else that was coming along with that. And then to have that kind of stripped away from us for 18 months has been obviously incredibly disappointing, but understandable in the circumstances. I don't think anybody's or any complaints that in the sense that it's probably been the right thing from, you know, a health and safety point of view. But, you know, we just can't wait to get back involved. We're a really tight-knit group, and we love coming in and catching up. And it's a unique environment, even in the international level. I speak with other guys that play for the European countries, and, you know, most of them come and play in the UK or play in here. But, you know, we have guys that come in from every corner of the world, and everyone's always got great stories. And there's always something going on, I guess. And it's we're just really looking forward to being back involved, and it's a big couple of years for us. We're going to have a lot of games to catch up on, and for myself now being back fit and playing, you know, and hoping to be back and pushing for the where I was at the end of 2019 and kind of carry on in that same run of form.
So obviously hard to work on kind of the team chemistry and tactics when there's actually hasn't been a proper physical camp. So I guess in the meantime, how do you feel, the Socceroos squad has progressed individually at their clubs around the world?
Yeah, it's been, you know, great to see. There was a few people on the move in the last 12 months, and it's just been, obviously I know a lot of the guys keep track of each other, and every weekend you sit on live score and you scroll down through all the leagues and you keep track of everybody. But it's been great to see a number of the players really progressing and pushing on well. I know James Jago's gone off to an amazing start in Greece, and he's playing really well out there, and you know, that's great for us. And yeah, all along the squad, there's guys that are obviously guys are finding themselves in difficult circumstances as well. But that's just natural. That's just football. And it's not always, as you say, it's not always easy to be playing, I suppose, week in, week out at the level that some of the guys are playing at. But, it doesn't take away from their individual qualities and abilities that they can bring to the Socceroos setup. And, we know each other well enough now, a lot of the core players, that we know how to get the best out of each other when we link up. And, I'm sure it will be, again, it will be one of those 3-4 days, and you'll be out there again together. And it'll have been, as you say, probably 18 months since we played together. But everyone will be really keen to be involved and get that chemistry going again, building into what's going to be an important couple of years.
Yeah, as you said, it's going to be a massive couple of years leading into the 2022 World Cup at the end of that year, and I guess. in between then, it's going to be the remainder of the second round qualifiers. There's four more games against Paul, Chinese Taipei, and Jordan. And then the third round of qualifying, which is going to be a great phase of qualifying to go through again. I guess having been at the 2018 World Cup and kind of being, four games into the qualification for the next World Cup, how much of a carrot, dangling at the end of the line is that for you being able to potentially play at another World Cup?
Yeah, that's the dream, I suppose, of any player that's been fortunate to play at international level is to achieve that goal of playing at a World Cup. And for me now, of having experienced it and been there before, I'm probably even more determined to get back to that level again. And a lot of the players will be feeling the same. It's the pinnacle of international football, and if not football as a sport as a whole. And and the process to get there is long and difficult. And the third phase of qualifying, last time round was obviously incredibly tough, and having to go then through the playoff system to get there. And we'll be looking to do it the easy way, hopefully, in the third phase, after we hopefully again go through these last four games of qualifying. We've been off to a great start, and barring anything dramatic, we'll find ourselves in that third phase, and then it's all about getting consistency of performances, because the games are going to come thick and fast. It's not going to be like a drawn out process because of these catch up. We're going to be playing in every two games, probably in every single window, which is fantastic. And everyone will be so keen to be a part of it. And that's all I can really say about that. You just want to get back to that level again.
So if you look back on your soccer's career so far, are there a couple moments or one moment in particular that stands out as really your favourite moment on the pitch?
Yeah, there's probably a few. Scoring my first goal in Sydney against the UAE in that qualifying phase was unbelievably, that was incredible. On home turf, and it was my first start in Australia, and everything that came along with that was just incredible. My first cap itself was obviously is a milestone and special in its own way. And then also probably appearing at the World Cup, coming off the bench in the first game in the World Cup, they're probably three of the standout moments for me, I guess. But I think probably the best feeling I've had in this, being involved in soccer, I didn't actually play in the Honduras. I played in the first leg. I didn't play in the second leg, but the feeling at the end of the game against Honduras in the second leg was just, overwhelming emotions. Obviously, we'd been through that whole qualification drama, I suppose, of, just missing out on automatic, and then the drama against Syria, Timmy's heroics at the end of extra time, and then coming into, going away to Honduras, one of the most difficult away games I've ever had to play in terms of, the pitch, the atmosphere, everything. It just was so challenging. And then to come back and fly all the way back to Sydney and play again 3-4 days later, it was just, it was just, and then to know that we'd kind of done it and we'd achieved what we'd set out to do all those months beforehand. And it felt like this, it felt never ending, I suppose, that process. And that's been definitely the best feeling I've had in a Socceroos jersey, was just being with the team and enjoying that moment together of, excitement, relief, everything that came with knowing that we'd finally got there.
If you think back to a young Jackson who was starting out his football career and dreaming of, playing for his country one day, do you think that the young kid would have believed that you would have achieved everything that you have?
I honestly, you say, I don't think, you think to yourself, it's hard to believe, it is a dream come true and everything that way. But I know my mentality from a young age was totally not single-minded. I had a total single focus of what I wanted to do. And, you know, of course, I don't know if deep down you ever really doubt yourself as a kid in particular, because, you know, I don't know if you're self-aware enough to even really understand that, but I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And that's, I was just so determined. And as I say, single-minded in my goal. And, I suppose that's been one of the driving forces that's got me to where I am today. And, probably if more than anything, that mentality has been what's driven me. You know, I've played alongside guys that probably had far more ability than me, you know, at a younger age and through youth team football and into this way. But, you know, you need more than that to get to the top level. And for myself, I think that mentality has been with me from a young age. And, it's something that I never really even, I kind of laugh about it with my parents sometimes, in the sense that, you know, I was always the one pushing, you know, they never had to, like, I don't know, drive me or motivate me or anything like that. That's all I wanted and all I could see myself doing. And, but yeah, I suppose there is always that element of just genuine shock and surprise. I think the older you get and the closer you get to it, the further away it feels in ways, the more difficult it feels like to get to that, over that last hurdle. But I'm just so proud and to have been involved and achieved what I've done. But I mean, I'm not far from finished, and you know, I feel like I'm coming into the prime of my career now. And I feel like I've got so much more to give and so much more to learn. I'll never finish. I don't feel like I've finished developing yet as a player. I feel like I'm constantly getting better and learning and, you know, working with top players and coaches at international level and domestically can just help every day. You know, there's always something there for you. I think my time away from Port White's another thing that you probably learn something that you miss is that day to day being able to keep learning and growing, because it's very difficult to do that on your own. You can only really do that in a team environment.
Hearing all that, I'm sure it's going to excite Socceroos fans who, you know, can't wait to see what comes next for you in your career and for yourself out on the pitch for Australia. Before you go, I've got one last question. We shared on social media your votes for the Triple J Top 100. So I just wanted to find out, what did you make of the Top 100 and the top songs?
I think that's when you realise you've been away from home for 10, over 10 years now. When, I suppose because I don't listen to the station as much anymore, I'm probably a little bit, probably missed the cut a little bit in terms of what's going to be on the list. But for myself, I just picked 10 songs of my 10 favourite songs of the year. And unfortunately, none of them, I didn't see any of them creep in there. I think maybe one or two of the bands got in, but none of the songs I chose. So maybe some Socceroos fans will go and have a listen to some of those tunes anyway and find a new band or a new DJ that they like. So that's what I can take from that, is maybe I've introduced some people to some new tunes, because I don't think any of my votes got anywhere near the top 100.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure everyone will forgive you for that. But I guess one final thing, in terms of your connection with music, I mean, it's quite common to see all players around the world listening to some kind of music before they go into the change route for the game. But from, you know, I'm sure from fans, from seeing your accounts and seeing, you know, yourself playing guitar and some of the collections that you have, maybe just kind of give a bit of an insight into your kind of connection with music and maybe how important it is for you to have something else to focus on besides football sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It's no secret now that it's a big part of my life, and always has been. And in every aspect of it, in terms of, you know, you can, as you say, use it to motivate yourself going into football, and the total opposite to switch off and you know, escape from that part of your life as well, I guess. And I suppose for a lot of people, I'm sure, and one of the most things that people are missing the most in the world at the moment is live music. And I hope that sooner rather than later, we're all able to to go out and enjoy that again, because that will be a happy day for myself in particular, I'm sure. And but yeah, it plays a big part, a big role in my life. And it come, you know, the first thing I pack up when I came up to Edinburgh was, you know, put the guitar in its case and bring it up the road with me. So it's always there, and it's a big influence in everything I try and do, I suppose, is in terms of the way I approach things. It's difficult to put into words the rock, I suppose. It's just a big part of my life in every aspect.
Sure. Edinburgh's a pretty picturesque place to just grab a guitar and sit outside in the street. It's a pretty awesome place with the castle overlooking it as well.
Trust me, mate, you don't want to be outside here at the moment. It's about -4. I think the second day I turned up for training and there was about a foot of snow, and the guys in the trucks plowing all the snow off half the pitch so we could get out there and train. And even in the north of England, I'd probably had forgotten that how cold it can get up in Scotland. So it's been, again, that was like a real shock to the system coming back and being out here again. So yeah, but yeah, maybe in a couple of months I'll go and sit outside again, but definitely not at the moment.
I feel bad. I won't tell you what the weather was like today.
Oh no, I was on FaceTime to my parents earlier and they were sitting outside and it was like, yeah, all right, then come on, rub it in.
All right, mate, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for the chat and all the best with the next games and the next few months. And hopefully, yeah, see you in the Socceroos camp soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate. Nice to speak to you.
Thanks for listening to the Socceroos podcast with guest Jackson Irvine. Jackson's journey over the last year provides an important lesson for all kids who want to become professional footballers. No matter what the situation is, never give up and always believe in yourself. To learn more about Jackson and other Socceroos journeys, head to socceroos.com.au as well as the social channels for all the latest news and videos on the team. Tune in next time for the Socceroos podcast and let us know on social media if there's players and questions you want answered. Until then, goodbye.
Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals. That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.